On Radio Jackie today, I'm joined by the Liberal Democrat MP for Epsom and Ewell, Helen Maguire. Jumping straight in, I'm just curious to hear, what is your understanding of the violent disorder in Epsom town centre between the 17th and the 27th of April?
Yeah, look, it was really disappointing to see what happened in Epsom, and obviously there were some real consequences as a result of that. You know, we saw the deployment of riot police who were brought together from all over Surrey and Sussex. And in addition to that, we saw projectiles being thrown at the police and also residents. And since then, I've now learned that obviously there's been a huge amount of disruption for local businesses as trade decreased in the area during this time. And indeed, one business actually suffered £15,000 worth of damage. And it's now been established. The police said that there was no incident that took place as reported. And so, you know, it was really the spreading of mis and disinformation online that ultimately caused this, which is incredibly troubling in this particular day and age. So it's something that I will absolutely be taking up when Parliament sits again, about what we can do to really try to tackle the spreading of this dis and misinformation.
Yeah, and with the latest report coming in this morning from Surrey Police, 10 arrests have been made so far, and that is including children as young as 11. What does this suggest about youth behaviour locally?
Well, I mean, obviously, I haven't seen this report as yet, and so I can't specifically comment. But what I will say is certainly for many of the protests, there were people coming to Epsom from outside of the constituency, which is absolutely cannot be tolerated for instances like this. And we saw many far right individuals getting on top of this and really trying to create an environment of division and hatred online, which is completely not acceptable at all. But it's really disappointing to see if there were youths that were arrested and have been as a result of this. And it's obviously something that the police really need to get on top of.
And do you think Surrey Police responded quickly and effectively to the situation?
Yes, so they were very quick to, I mean, I was in constant conversation with the head of the police, and they obviously were ready for the protest, and they had riot police there, and they said to me that very early on they could sense that it was going to be a volatile situation, so they deployed riot police straight away. But, you know, it's really disappointing that they had to do that, because obviously those police officers came from all over Surrey and Sussex, and quite frankly they should have been doing other things and not having to police a riot and that ended up being about an incident that didn't take place in the first place.
And is there anything more that could have been done to prevent escalation before it reached the point of arrests and criminal damage?
Well, it's a really interesting question, that because obviously the police were very open about what they knew and what they didn't know. And very quickly, they did put a statement out there that said that there was nothing that said that it was a migrant or an asylum seeker. And yet, despite that, we found that the protesters and people online were still spreading mis and disinformation. So one of the things that I want to look at is, obviously, at the moment, we know that you're not allowed to incite violence online. But there does seem to be a bit of a gap where you're spreading disinformation that then ultimately does lead to a riot. And is that something else that we can tackle? Can we get some more powers, for example, for the police? So that's something that I will be looking further into, because obviously Epsom is not an isolated incident. There have been other incidents up and down the country, and I do not want another town to suffer what Epsom suffered.
And do you think incidents like this affect public trust in Surrey Police in Epsom and Ewell?
Well, I think what we saw was that the Surrey Police did police this extremely well, and they did provide the information that they were able to. And then within about 10 days, they concluded the investigation and said that there was not insufficient information, you know, to state that the incident took place. So I think they did that quickly, and they were very reactive to exactly what was going on. And certainly from everyone that I've spoken to in Epsom about the incident, they're very happy with the police's response. I think it's just, unfortunately, people from outside of Epsom who came in who were, you know, really spreading, you know, misinformation and talking about distrust in the police. And that was really just unacceptable.
And have you spoken to any residents that live in Epsom and Ewell? Do they feel confident that crimes reported are properly investigated and acted upon quickly?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's campaigning season at the moment, so I'm on the doorstep every single day, you know, and Policing is one of the things that does come up on the doorstep. But look, we have a situation where, and we've had years of conservative cuts which have destroyed neighbourhood policing, and so as a result of that, we've got lots of everyday crime that goes unsolved, whether it's from shoplifting to bike theft or things like that. And this is why it's really important that we have a return to proper community and policing, because quite frankly, people just want to see a real visible police presence in their communities. And look, it's good that we're now abolishing the police and crime commissioners, because quite frankly that was a waste of money, and so we can get back to policing boards to oversee the police.
And I guess you've just touched on my next question there. Are police currently sufficiently resourced to deal with youth disorder and antisocial behaviour, such as what happened in Epsom and Ewell?
I mean, so obviously, as you saw, that the police had to bring in extra resource from other places. But I think what we need to look at is actually what's the source of the problem. And unfortunately, the previous Conservatives destroyed investment in youth clubs. There's so little for young people to do nowadays, and that's what we need to get back to, is really supporting our young people so they don't turn to antisocial behaviour. So they've got jobs, so they've got places to go to. So that's what we need to do. And actually, with the police that I work with, there's a particular youth club in Leatherhead, and they're there on a regular basis talking to them, supporting them so they don't turn to antisocial behaviour. So I think we really need to resolve the root causes of antisocial behaviour.
Brilliant. Next topic, devolution and local elections. Now, with residents voting this Thursday in the Surrey local elections, what do you see as the most important issue for voters in Epsom and Ewell?
Well, look, this generation is a once in a generation opportunity for East Surrey. It's obviously a new council, and it's a real opportunity to overturn decades of Conservative chaos. And it's only the Liberal Democrats that can deliver a fresh start for East Surrey. But on the doorsteps every single day, the number one issue that comes up without a doubt is potholes. People are frustrated throughout Epsom and Ewell at the punctures their cars are getting, or other damage to their cars, and having to navigate these roads. In particular in Epsom, we've got a road, Longmead Road, which is just potholes all over. I mean, I had one resident who said to me he tried to report a pothole, and when he called up to Surrey, he said, "Can you actually indicate where it is?" And he said, "Well, I can't, because the whole road's got so many potholes on it." And this is what we need to do. We need to make sure that we're actually we are financing the roads so that they're there, they're repaired for the long term, and there's not just these spot pothole repairs.
And these elections will determine the makeup of the new Surrey Council structure. What difference do you think that will make to how local services are run?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, it was something that we didn't agree with, the local devolution, but it's something that's happening. I mean, one of the things that I think could be positive is that you're not going to have two tiers now. So in some instances, I have some cases that I deal with where, particular issues are they go between one council and another in terms of who owns them. But look, it's a real opportunity to turn a page, to have a fresh start, and it's really important that people vote in candidates who they feel can competently manage the finances. And obviously, Liberal Democrats, we have a great record in this, but also individuals who will serve the community all year round, and not just turn up for elections. And that's what we as the Liberal Democrats do.
And would you support further devolution of powers within Surrey? And what decisions should sit at county level versus local level, do you think?
So in Epsom and Ewell, they did have a vote on whether they wanted parish councils or not, and the community decided to vote against that, and they voted against that in Ashstead and Leatherhead as well. So it's not something that my community wants. So that's how it is in Epsom and Ewell.
And I think you may have touched on this question, but I'll ask you again anyway. What do you think voters should be looking for in candidates standing for Surrey Council seats in and around Epsom and Ewell?
Well, look, I think it's really important that they're looking for people who've got knowledge and experience of how to run councils, who know how to manage the finances. I mean, this is going to be one of the biggest councils in the country, with over 500,000 people, with a massive budget. We need people who can actually represent you, so really understand the local area, really understand the issues that are at the heart of every single community, so they can actually deliver the community services that the community needs.
And what would success look like for you after these local elections? What changes should residents realistically expect to see?
Well, success for us would look like a Liberal Democrat win in East Surrey, and I really hope that we do that. But look, it's going to be a really interesting couple of years. Obviously, it's going to be a shadow cabinet for a year before they fully take over on the 1st of April 2027, and there's going to be a lot to resolve in terms of managing the assets and the finances and everything else. But I think I'd like to see obviously a well-governed, a well-managed council that demonstrates real strong financial management and really delivers for local people in terms of getting the basics sorted. So that's the roads and the pavements, making sure that we deliver the right services for the community as well.
And final question on this topic, how important is it for people to go out and exercise their right to vote?
Oh, it is so important. I mean, often a lot of people talk about national politics, but actually it's the local politics, the day-to-day stuff that really people care about. If your bins don't get collected, or if there's a pothole right outside your door, or if there's a particular planning application, these are the issues that people get really upset about. And this is who you're going to elect this time, is the councillors who are going to represent your area to represent these things. It's also about where these individuals will get to decide where different investment goes, so whether investment goes into your area or another. So it's really important that we get the right councillors who are going to make the decisions about your area.
Next topic, social media. Now, do you support a full ban on social media for under 16s? What's your thoughts?
So one of the things that we as Liberal Democrats have been talking about is having something called a film-style age rating for social media platforms. So what this means is, like films, that different platforms would have a different age rating dependent on their content. So, for example, we know that many families use WhatsApp, so it might be that WhatsApp would have a lower age rating, like 14, whereas another one could have a higher age rating, like 18, because perhaps it's they there there would be more explicit content, for example, on there. So that's one of the things that that we've been supporting. But we did push for, and we supported the Conservatives' amendment to the Children's and Wellbeing Bill, which was all about a ban on smartphones in school. And this is something that obviously many parents have been calling for, and it's disappointing to see that the government didn't back this up.
And given the age of some of those involved in recent disorder in Epsom and Ewell, as I mentioned, one was 11 years old, how big a role do you think social media plays in youth behaviour?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is absolutely something that we need to understand more. We know how addictive these platforms are, and it's something that the social media giants need to take more ownership and responsibility for. In terms of making sure that mis and disinformation isn't spread at all. But we know now that younger people are more likely to pick up news on their phones and on social media than perhaps normally your traditional printed media or the TV. So it's something that we really need to get on top of, certainly in terms of protecting children and making sure that they don't see content that they shouldn't be seeing at a certain age. But also, if it does incite violence, that should absolutely not be happening, and it's something that that potentially the police need some more powers to tackle.
On to the next topic, Middle East conflict. Now, how do you ensure international issues like the Middle East conflict do not increase tensions within your constituency?
Yeah, I mean, this is obviously really, interesting question. And obviously, following the riots in Epsom, it's been a real opportunity for the community to come together. And we saw that no better than when we had the service in the Epsom Methodist Church, where members from the whole community, from the Muslim community, the Hindu community, the Christian community, people of all different ages, came together, really concerned about what was happening. And obviously this is an evolving conflict. I mean, just this morning we woke up and we found out that the ceasefire had been broken again, and it's something that we don't know when the end date is at the moment. But certainly, as the MP for Epsom and Ewell, I'm consistently in contact with all the different members of different parts of the community to make sure that I'm in touch with them and can answer any of their questions that they have. But one of the main things that I am concerned about, though, is the impact it just has on day-to-day for individuals in Epsom and Ewell. And one of the things we're seeing is obviously the increase in petrol prices, for example. Just the other day, in fact, it was the Resolution Foundation who've now said that your average family is probably going to be hit by about £480 because of this Trump's war on Iran. And that's incredibly concerning.
Yeah, you've just touched on my next question there. What role should MPs play in addressing global conflicts while maintaining focus on local priorities like safety and policing?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously, you know, this conflict in Iran it's a changing situation, and it's completely wrong that, you know, Trump's dragged the West into this. And as I mentioned, this is something now that we're seeing our residents feel on a day-to-day basis. And so that's why, you know, national political parties need to look at how they can support local residents. And one of the things that we've been calling for is an emergency plan to keep Britain moving. And that's by cutting fuel duty by 10p, by slashing bus fares to £1 from the current £3 cap, and by cutting rail fares by 10%. And we're pressing the government to really implement this, because we know how it's really going to affect households in Epsom and Ewell.
Great. And final topic, business rates and cost of living pressures. What impact are rising business rates having on small businesses in Epsom and Ewell?
Yeah, I mean, this is a real concern, and we see this up and down the high street. You know, you might go into a cafe and see that it looks really busy, but when I talk to the business owners, what they're saying is they're really struggling to pay their bills, and actually at the end of the day, there's no profit. You know, all their money is going on paying the business rates, it's going on the rising energy costs, and it's going on and paying the increases in national insurance costs. And that's really a really difficult business environment. And this is why we've been calling for abolishing the business rate system as it is and replacing it with a commercial landowner levy, which would really shift the tax burden from the tenant to the landlord. And it would also reduce the amount of empty properties on our high street. And obviously, one of the things that we're seeing at the moment is a rise of kind of like, you know, illegitimate shops on the high street, you know, different kind of vape shops who are doing illegal activity behind that. And we really need to make sure that that doesn't continue to happen. And this is why we've been calling for a VAT cut for hospitality, to ensure that obviously our favourite cafes and pubs and restaurants continue to survive, so that we can save our great British high street.
And do you think current government support is enough to help households facing ongoing costs of living pressures locally?
Look, it's really difficult. And as I mentioned, the Resolution Foundation thinks that every single family is going to be hit by £480 this year. And this is why we've been talking about scrapping the National Insurance Jobs Tax, which would take pressure off the high streets and support businesses, scrapping the planned September fuel duty rise, and obviously cutting fuel duty by 10 pence, and slashing bus fares to £1, and cutting rail fares by 10%. By doing this, we can really keep Britain moving, and it will help support households in Epsom and Ewell.